둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here and checking out the episode. If you're not already, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. You'll get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Of course, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give this series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests drop by lately, including Maynard James Keenan of Tool, A Perfect Circle, and Pussifer. We talked with the cast of Shrinking. That includes Jessica Williams, Krista Miller, Ted McGinley, and Michael Urey. Petula Clark and Don McLean both dropped by. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips. Catalina Sandino-Marino and Sasha Calle from the Netflix movie The Rip with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Stephen Knight, creator of Peaky Blinders, along with Malachi Kirby, stopped by to talk about A Thousand Blows on Disney+. Nico Case, whose new record Neon Gray Midnight Green is out. Amy Mann, Joe Henry, Over the Rhine, Walker Scobell, you know him as Percy Jackson on the new Disney Plus series. That's an example of who you can hear when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's going to be a special Rewind episode, looking back at a couple of my interviews. One took place in 2019, the other one in 2020. The two interviews are with two of the most influential hit makers of the last half century, talking about Desmond Child and David Foster. Now, we're going to start with my 2019 interview with Desmond Child. Let's go through some of these, right? He wrote Kisses, I Was Made for Loving You, Joan Jett's I Hate Myself for Loving You, Bon Jovi's You Give Love a Bad Name, and Living on a Prayer, and Bad Medicine, Aerosmith, Dude Looks Like a Lady, Angel, What It Takes, Crazy, Cher's We All Sleep Alone, and Just Like Jesse James. He did songs from JoJo Siwa, Alice Cooper's Poison, Michael Bolton's How Can We Be Lovers, Ricky Martin's Livin' Da Vida Loca, Hanson's Weird, just to name a few. It's insane how many hits this guy has had. So Desmond, in this talk, he discussed finally stepping center stage with a live release at that time. It's called Desmond Child Live, revisiting decades of world-dominating songs, how writing his autobiography pushed him to reflect on legacy, mentorship, and the emotional weight songs like Living on a Prayer still carry. It's part one of this special Rewind episode, Kyle Meredith with Desmond Child.
I'm doing fantastic.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you.
So we got that yesterday.
I'm on Route 66. That's what they say.
Man, it has been so
much
fun.
66.
Yeah. Well,
no, but I don't look 66.
You absolutely don't. I saw the pictures. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I call that Botoxidermy.
I'm going to have to remember that one. Thank you for that. Man, it is such a pleasure to talk to you, and it's been so much fun listening to this this record with Desmond Child live and hearing all of these songs. With a catalog this big, though, why did it take till now? Was there any specific reason that you said now is the time to release this album?
You know, it's kind of when you turn a corner in your life, and, you know, I spent the last 3.5 years co-writing my autobiography with David Ritz. It's called Living on a Prayer, Big Songs, Big Life. It'll be out this spring. And, you know, it kind of, it's painful to look back, man. You know, it's not fun. It was hard to write this. But, you know, I also looked at, you know, God, I've worked my butt off, making my career. And I just started to feel like, you know, I want to get back on a stage, because I started out that way with my group, Desmond Child and Rouge, in the late 70s. And we had made 2 albums on Capitol Records. And I decided to go back to New York City, where we used to play all these little clubs. And I found this beautiful jewel of a club called Feinstein's 54 Below, under Studio 54. It's underground. And got all of my friends, all the same troupe from back in the day. Even Rouge came back. And we made this record. Yeah. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And also, kind of like the versions are not like all blown up. You know, it's kind of like more stripped down, kind of how it was when we wrote them.
Yeah, and that's the way I heard it, too. Like, this is probably the closest I get to the fly on the wall moment for those creations.
Yeah, you know, and also I tell stories and, you know, all that. I didn't put that much of the stories, you know, on the record, but, you know, I do spill the dirt, you know, in my show.
What, you know, with as many, because, you know, as it's written, you've got 80 Billboard hits and then some to go along with that. Was there like the hardest songs to cut? Was there one you were like, I wish I could get this on here, but it's just too much?
You know, the show could only be so long, and I was, you know, I wished that I had done Poison, the song I co-wrote with Alice Cooper. I mean, or a song like What It Takes. But I just had to kind of like, you know, kind of limit it. And so maybe there'll be a Desmond Child Live 2 coming in the future with the rest of them.
Yeah, I would love to hear that. There were some surprises on here, like, you know, hearing you do the song Weird that you co-wrote with Hanson. I don't think I would have expected that one. And I love the version that you did with that. I would say, and I need to tell you this, actually, I got my first kiss to the song Crazy, Aerosmith's Crazy, which, you know, that must be one of the things that you hear a lot of times, like having these kind of songs that you must get that story a lot, like first kiss, first dance, first whatever.
First whatever. That's why a lot of kids are named Desmond.
That is amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's like we get so many letters from people that, you know, especially with Living on a Prayer, you know, that meant so much to them in their life. And we once got a letter from a guy that was going to kill himself. So he drives up to the bridge and he just jumps out of the car, leaves the car on, radio on, and door open, and he goes to jump out. And Living on a Prayer comes on the radio, and that was his favorite song. So he gets back in the car. He says, well, this will be the last song I hear. And by the time it got to the chorus at the end, he drove home.
Wow. I mean,
so Bon Jovi saves lives.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Desmond Child. Your mentor, and I want to make sure I say his name right. Is it Bob Crewe? Is that how you
Bob
say it?
Bob Crewe.
Yeah.
Bob Crewe, legendary Bob Crewe. I mean, at a certain point, I had my group, and Desmond Child and Rouge, and we broke up after doing our 2 albums on Capitol for a lot of reasons. I think we were too immature and crazy to stick together. But I decided to do a solo career, and so Bob Crewe had moved to New York, and he had produced all the songs for the Jersey Jersey Boys, like, they're not the Jersey Boys, they're called the Four Seasons. Uh-huh. But they made a Broadway show and a movie called Jersey Boys, and Bob Crew's a character in it. And he taught me all about songwriting. And so it was really like songwriting, you know, doctorate that I got working with him.
And for that to lead here, that's what I wondered. Like, I don't know if there's a formula, but what was there anything specific that you learned from him that did lead you to be able to write so many hits?
Well, I used to, you know, sit at the piano and kind of play some chords and improvise, mumble around, and hope that those mumbles sounded like words, and then I'd pick something and then build something out of it. He wouldn't even start a song unless we had an amazing title. And he taught me that, you know, you write the script first before you film the movie, right? And then the music comes later, you know, it's the scoring. Mm-hmm. Because the music should enhance the meaning of what you write. So, you know, he taught me how to write titles that had irony, like "You Give Love a Bad Name," "I Hate Myself for Loving You," "Heaven's on Fire." These titles write themselves.
What a great way to set that up, and iconic titles on top of that. I want to ask before you get out of here, you know, so you've got the live album, Desmond Child Live, you've got the autobiography on the way, and there's also a movie too, right?
Yes, my close friend and collaborator, Andreas Carlson, who co-wrote a bunch of songs for the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Back in 1998, when I first met him, he was young, and he came to see me because he was bit on like a kind of a, what they call like pilgrimage to meet anybody who had anything to do with Kiss. And so he came to see me, and he told me about Lou Pearlman, who had created a whole, you know, company built on boy bands in Orlando, and they called it O-Town, like Motown. Uh-huh. And so I said, that should be a movie. That's so interesting. But then the story got better and better and better. I mean, eventually the feds caught up with him because he had perpetuated a $500 million Ponzi scheme that bankrolled the whole operation.
Right.
And so, you know, we optioned a book called The Hit Charade by Tyler Gray and a Vanity Fair article called Mad About the Boys. And we have partners now, Ed Pressman, Pressman Film, Greg Basser, Gentle Giant, and David Anton Partners. And we're making a movie. We're making a scripted movie about Lou Pearlman. And, you know, it's called Transcon, because that was the name of his company, Transcon, The Making of Lou Pearlman and the Boy Band Revolution.
I look forward to watching that one. And in the meantime, so enjoying this live album, Desmond Child Live. Thank you so much for the music and the soundtrack to all of our lives.
Well, you know, thank you for listening, and also keep listening.
We'll
and
do.
You know what's so great? I go to a Bon Jovi concert, and there are people there of all generations, you know, that, you know, have made their music. It's like a part of them. And they wait till the very end because John waits to the very last encore, the very last song of the last encore to sing Living on a Prayer. So no one will leave. And that stadium stays full till they hear that song. And then when they do play it, you can't even hear the band because the audience is singing so loud. So I love that.
Yeah, beautiful moments. Thank you so much, Desmond.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith. Now, part two of this special Rewind episode. We just go a year later in 2020. David Foster dropped by. Now, we should go through the roll call of David Foster songs, right? He has been involved with Whitney Houston's version of I Will Always Love You, as well as I Have Nothing and The Prayer from Celine Dion, After the Love Is Gone from Earth, Wind and Fire, Hard to Say I'm Sorry from Chicago, St. Elmo's Fire, Man in Motion, you know, John Parr, The Best of Me, David Foster actually wrote that one. Look What You've Done to Me from Boz Scaggs and the Skylark song Wildflower. Again, just to name a few in here. And David Foster, back in this 2020 interview, he dug into his own retrospective project he was doing at the time, broke down the theatrical instincts behind his biggest productions, the famous studio moments with Whitney Houston and Celine Dion, and how he shifted his creative focus that time towards Broadway and long-form storytelling, including the Betty Boop musical. So let's do this part two of this special Rewind episode. It's Kyle Meredith with David Foster.
Hey, Kyle.
Pleasure. It's really an honor, especially behind this new record and an intimate evening. I should also point out you announced the tour. You're going to be here in Louisville at the Louisville Palace on May 5th, and we're really excited to have you out here. Congratulations on this record, man.
Thanks, man. And I'm excited to come there. You know, I've done the Muhammad Ali event in Phoenix, Celebrity Fight Night, for the last 18 years. I've been the musical host, and so I have, of course, a very special place in my heart for Muhammad, and I've been to Louisville before, which is where his museum is, no?
Yeah, right. It's right down the street from us. In fact, if you've never been in, it is just a mind-blowing experience over there.
Yep, and I will hopefully visit it when I get there, and yeah, I'm on the road.
Yeah, man. Well, let's talk about this record and what you're touring behind, because in Intimate Evening, you have written and produced so many amazing songs throughout the years. This is a great track list. I got to wonder, is there a reason why you chose this group of songs specifically? Is there a common thread, or just the ones maybe that were top of your mind?
Just a dartboard, really. No, In fact, as I've been doing these interviews, people have asked me about songs that aren't there, and I've been going, yeah, why didn't I do, She's a Beauty from the Tubes that I co-wrote and songs like that? So I might switch it up a little bit. But this is basically me going out there on the road and performing the songs without the original artist, but with some great singers, and whether it's a Celine song or a Whitney song, and just telling my story and sort of a 40-year look back at what I've done. And the CD is now out. My wife, Catherine, and I did one of the songs from the CD on the Today Show. And it's just been fun, and it's great to get that audience feedback.
I've noticed a bit of theatricality to your writing. You know, you're not afraid of movements and those key changes. Where does that come from?
I don't know. It's funny, but I love that you noticed it. And it's the thing that I get slagged from if ever Rolling Stone, if they ever decide to talk about me, it's usually bad. But I just, when I lay my hands on the piano, that's what comes out. It's not like I try to be, bombastic with my music, as Rolling Stone put it once. It's just that's what comes out, and that's what I think entertains people, and it's worked. And so, it's not for everybody, that's for sure, but it's certainly worked for a lot of people, and it comes natural. It's not fake.
Well, and it shows, too, because, you have 40 years, 40-plus years that you're still cranking this stuff out. And styles change. Does songwriting change how you approach it?
It does. And, of course, a song that I wrote for Celine 20 years ago wouldn't work today. I've morphed myself a couple of times. And right now I'm touring, as we mentioned. I've got the CD out. The DVD is coming out, actually. And I'm finding ways to still be relevant in the music business without writing a top 40 hit. I love Drake and I love Ariana Grande. I just don't know how to make that kind of music. But it doesn't mean that I can't stay busy, just sort of slightly retreating and attacking in another direction. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make. They keep banging their head against the wall trying to do what they've always done. And when it doesn't work, they just keep banging their head against the wall. For me, I just go, okay, well, that's not working, so I'll do this. And I'll write musicals and try and go on Broadway, which is what I'm doing. Or I'll do a PBS special, or I'll tour, or, there's always something great to do. Doesn't mean that you have to be on top 40 radio all the time.
You mentioned Broadway and everything. And the first single from the record, Something to Shout About, with Catherine, got the first single. Now, that's part of something else, right? The Betty Boop musical?
It is, and that's something I've been working on for a few years. We finally have a great book written by Todd Martin and a director, Jerry Mitchell, and the pieces are all falling into place. And this song, strangely, even though it's obviously not a top 40 song, it's strangely gotten a lot of action in the last 24 hours, which is kind of surprising to me.
Now, what steered you towards Betty Boop? I mean, was such an iconic figure, but not one that's really felt, that's felt like it's had a resurgence lately. What brought that on?
You know what brought it on? Somebody asked me to do it. Nobody was asking me to write a Broadway play. And somebody came along and said, hey, would you like to do a Broadway play? Yeah, what is it? It's Betty Boop. Sounds good to me. And that's been a great entree for me. And now I'm working on four musicals and can't call them Broadway musicals yet because they're not on Broadway. But I'm invigorated by what I think I can bring to Broadway. And I'm excited about it.
Well, knowing what you've done with pop music, it seems like a natural fit. And I want to hit a little bit more on this record, too, with an Intimate Evening and this track list, because I was you've got All By Myself on here, and I was watching an interview with Celine just yesterday. I think she was on, CNN, and she was talking about that moment in the song, that key change, and it turns out that was a bit of a trick that you played on her, right?
I did. I hurt the poor girl. I'm sorry to say. All these years later, it's still fresh in my memory. I made her sing this high note. I dreamt up this high note that you couldn't imagine that anybody could even hit. As a matter of fact, the song was written by the Raspberries, I.R. Carmen, and I reimagined it for Celine, made her sing this high note 8 times, made her go hoarse. She hated me that day, but it did come out good.
It came out classic. And as far as high notes talked about, I have to ask about Whitney, too, because the Bodyguard soundtrack, I Will Always Love You, and the medley is also on this record as well. But talk about, all-time iconic notes. I mean, one note. what can you tell me anything about that moment?
Well, when I first heard that song, I heard the Linda Ronstadt version, and it was very laid back. And I heard it, and it doesn't happen often, but I got a vision, and I know it sounds heebie-jeebie, but I heard it, and I got an immediate vision of how I could reimagine that song for Whitney, even with the key change, with the big boom and the drum and the high note, just knowing the power of her voice. And it really came to me, like, in real time. And I rushed to the piano, and I went, this is what I'm going to do. When I played her the demo, she was on the set filming, and she went out of her mind. She said, oh, my God, this is going to be incredible. And it was just a great coming together of a production artist and a great songwriter, Dolly Parton.
Just incredible moments that you've been a part of. An Intimate Evening, this record, at the Louisville Palace, May 5th. You've also got a PBS special and documentary on the way, too, right?
Documentary's coming. It's called Off the Record. It's hitting 42 or 50 cities in the first 5 months of 2020, so probably coming close to wherever you are in America. And it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And the CD's out, and it's pretty entertaining. If I wasn't me, I'd probably buy it. But I'm going to get one for free.
Luckily, you know somebody. David, it has been such a pleasure talking to you. An honor, really. Thanks again. And we'll look forward to seeing you here in Louisville in May. Hopefully you get to visit the Ollie Museum.
I will for sure, Kyle. And if you show up to the concert, please come and identify yourself so I can say hello to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, man.
Okay, buddy. Thanks.
Right. And there you have it. My thanks to David Foster and Desmond Child. And of course, my thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. If you're not already, you'll get new interviews sent your way every single week from Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please to give the series a rating and a review wherever you're listening from. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music and bonus interviews. Lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from R.E.M., Luscious Jackson, Smith, Southern Culture on the Skids, Megaphone, Snowcap, Sean Colvin, Paul Thorne, Kate Justice, St. Vincent, John Batiste, Medium Build, Tori Amos, The Smashing Pumpkins, and my interviews with Nick Mason of Pink Floyd, Lucinda Williams, and Margot Timmons of the Cowboy Junkies. That's what you get weeknights when you tune in. 6 p.m. It starts at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed. Shop now for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.